You've probably heard a lot, especially on this program, about the foreign jihadists who flooded into Syria to try to overthrow the Assad government. And mostly we've been referring to the Sunni fighters, many with links to al-Qaeda, and even more backed and bankrolled by the hardline Wahhabist regime in Saudi Arabia. But in May this year, Assad's government wrested back control of the strategic border town of Qusair. Now, it did so with the support of thousands of Shia fighters from Lebanon, Iraq, and Iran. Foreign Shia jihadists aren't completely unheard of, but to date, they've never taken part in a foreign intervention on this scale. Philip Smythe is a researcher with the University of Maryland. He specializes in Shia militias in Syria, and he's speaking here with our producer, Jess Hill.
Following the Khomeinist revolution in 1979 in Iran, there is a new wave of Shia radicalism, and this has created these urges for what one could call an international jihad. At the time, back then in the 1980s and 1970s, this jihad was launched against the State of Israel and against the United States. A very large and prominent example is the bombing of the Marine Corps barracks in 1983, which actually occurred this month in 1983.
So, and that was in
Iran
Lebanon.
Yes, that was Hezbollah, and they were working in conjunction with the Iranians. But of course, Hezbollah is a creation of this Khomeinist revolutionary strain. You know, they adhere to a concept called Wilayat al-Faqih. One of the main precepts for this is that there is loyalty, religious, political, ideological loyalty to the Wali al-Faqih, meaning the person who's the supreme leader in Iran. Right now, that's Ali Khamenei. This is still a minority point of view. This is still not the accepted norm for most Shia. So the Iranians have been attempting to make this look like a pan-Shia conflict. So what they've done is they say this is a sacred defense. This is what it's been termed by Hezbollah, or termed by the numerous Iraqi Shia organizations which are backed by Iran. So the sacred defense means they are defending a shrine, the shrine to Sayyidah Zainab. Sayyidah Zainab was, you know, a relative of the Prophet Muhammad, and her shrine is located in southern Damascus. So by extension, they're saying by fighting in Syria and defeating the so-called Takfiris, which they say are backed by the Israelis, backed by Western Europe, and backed by the United States, they are fighting a defensive war.
There's a very pragmatic aspect to this too, because, you know, Shias, especially Hezbollah, are fighting for their very survival. I mean, especially in terms of the weapons supply routes between Iran and Lebanon. It's a very pragmatic defense rather than just symbolic.
Well, the symbolism is still very, very important. How do you win over a broad street of people if you don't have the religious imagery? So the Iranians need to make it look like it's a us versus them kind of conflict. I mean, this pragmatism that you're addressing, it's extremely important. But on the religious angle, it steps up quite a bit.
Mm. And I guess the character of, say, you know, arguably the biggest Shia resistance movement, Hezbollah, has been very much about defense, but also engendering quite a lot of pathos in their followers of having been beaten down, of having lost the battle back when the schism first occurred, you know, 1400 years ago, and having always had to try to make up ground against the Sunnis who, you know, unfairly took the Shia's rightful place at the top of Islam.
Well, this plays into it quite a bit, but Hezbollah has not played in that kind of sectarian mindset. Yes, with some of the fighters and some of the things that they've been saying, one could say it's all overtly sectarian and all they're doing is referencing these lost battles in order to, you know, push a sectarian message. And, of course, the Syrian civil war is highly sectarian. However, they have done a lot of different moves to make it look non-sectarian. So by casting their enemies as Takfiris, they have said that the Takfiri will go after other Sunnis and kill other Sunnis, that the true Islam is only represented by this resistance strain through Khomeinism, that false Islam, which is backed, according to them, by the United States, Israel, Western Europe, these Takfiri, these radicals, they are just bent on splitting the Ummah. This is a concept that Ayatollah Khomeini actually came up with, that it was a plot to split the Ummah, to split the Islamic nation. They have also cast it as that they're fighting for the oppressed. Now, the oppressed for them can include Christians or Sunnis or Shia or whatever, and they're fighting for that. That's at least how they do it, for PR.
In a sense, basically, the Shia narrative is that they're fighting Sunnis to protect Sunnis.
Well, correct. They've tried to use that narrative, but the narrative has not worked out quite as well as they had hoped. So now, when they're going about it and dealing with a Shia audience, they now pretty much directly have to say, we are Shia.
So is a lot of this being orchestrated by Iran, or are some of these fighters going of their own accord?
Some of them are going on their own accord, but it's, to be honest with you, I think it's a very, very small number, because the fighters that are being shown, they're equipped very, very well. They have new camouflage gear, they have new weapons, they have very good training, they're very well organized, and, this kind of concept, it's a very romantic concept, and I would say, and actually I have to stress this, the Iranians and their proxy groups wanted this to look like a volunteer effort at first, because it plays very well in the Shia community, and it also absolves them of any real link that they had with pushing fighters into the country. So what they've done is they said, well, these are just volunteer fighters doing their own thing and trying to support Assad because they want to defend the Sayyid Zainab shrine, and they also want to defend other shrines that are under threat inside of Syria. So that's one angle of it. And some of these fighters, and this is in Western media when they've talked, and said, oh, yeah, we went over to Syria to fight, and some of them have reported that they're not put in the units, meaning these specialized Shia militias, these foreign man Shia militias. Instead, they were just put kind of on protection duty. They were not doing, real fighting. But the other foreign fighters, the ones that are supplied by these different organizations, they're doing really heavy fighting. So, they're all over the country. They're very, very well trained. They're very, very well equipped. And they are launching a number of different tactically and strategically important operations. And these guys are also guarding most of the major strategic transport links. Damascus Airport is guarded by a combination of Syrian army and by these different Shia militias.
As I understand it, Hezbollah is defending the border areas and making sure they have territorial control over those areas to also ensure that the weapons supply routes are kept open.
Lebanese Hezbollah is all over Syria. This is another concept that's cooked up by a few analysts that say, well, they're just near Qusair. Mm. Well, no. They've been supplying what we could call supportive personnel to the Syrian army. They have been commanding certain Iraqi Shia groups. You have to remember, in terms of dealing with the Shia groups as a whole, it doesn't matter if they are, Lebanese or Iraqi, or they're from Afghanistan or, wherever, including one fighter from Sierra Leone who was killed, quote-unquote, defending Sayyid Zainab. If they're given this leadership position over them, they're all part of the Islamic Revolution. And by the Islamic Revolution, they're part of the Khomeinist Revolution. They are a united force through this ideology, and they're going to fight together against their, as they cap it, their infidel enemy.
That's the Syria analyst, Philip Smythe, speaking there with our producer, Jess Hill. And you're with me, Andrew West.